Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Here's this week's scripture reading and sermon.
Good morning. Scripture reading today comes from John 12, verses 12 through 16. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. The word of God for the people of God.
Then they remembered. That's what the text says. They didn't realize at first, but then they remembered. Hindsight's 20/20, isn't it? If I'd realized that script, including middle names, would throw me off so much, I would have practiced it a few more times this morning. I promise, Miles and Remy, I know who you are. Hindsight's 20/20, isn't it? We know this to be true not only because we've heard it said, but because we've seen it play out in our own lives. If only we had known, we would have retired earlier so we could enjoy those years. If only we had known, we wouldn't have bought that car, we would have bought a different one, one that might have lasted a little longer. If only we had known, we would have spent more time studying, less time at the frat house. If only we had known, we would have spent less time working, more time with the family. If only we had known, we would have done things a little bit differently, maybe to avoid heartache and failure. If only we had known, we would have taken more risks because we would know how they would pay off in the end. If only we had known, things would be so different, wouldn't they? But we didn't know. And so we did the best that we could, taking risks and making difficult choices without enough evidence to feel confident. We did the best we could, and that's all we could do. And so it was with Peter. In the gospel reading today, we see that Peter is noticeably absent. It is Jesus who enters the streets of Jerusalem. It is Jesus who finds his own donkey, and Jesus who greets the crowds, waving their palm branches in the air. In fact, the first mention of disciples as a group, not even Peter's name, is when John says the disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered these things. Then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. They didn't recognize it at first, but then they remembered. The absence of Peter in John's version of Jesus' triumphal entry makes us wonder, where was Peter when the drama was actually unfolding in real time? Where was Peter? He's been present in so many key moments along the way. Where is he now? We know that there was a lot going on in the city of Jerusalem when Jesus enters from the southeast. He had been staying in Bethany with his friends Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And it was Passover, which was a major holiday season, and people from all over were coming into the city. And so Jesus comes in from the southeast. Imagine a crowd that would meet him there, one similar to those that gather in the streets of New York City for New Year's Eve, or maybe the Macy's Day Parade. Imagine Myrtle Beach on spring break. That is Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, plus or minus. That's what it must have been like, with everybody coming into town, each for their own reasons and all for the same reason, to celebrate the Passover. It was an exciting time, but it was also an anxious time as news of Jesus' work and ministry began to infiltrate the region. Word was out about this prophet, this teacher, this man who some were calling the Messiah. He was empowering the marginalized, the outcasts. He was including the oppressed, and that could be a problem, especially if those outcasts decided to join together in revolt. Rome needed to keep this Jesus movement under control, but the people had heard stories about his ability to heal the sick, even raise the dead, and if they had doubts, Lazarus himself was there. John tells us Lazarus came along. He was in Jerusalem too, bearing witness in his own existence. Bearing witness to the truth that Jesus could raise the dead. Jesus was the real deal. And suddenly, the threat of death as punishment for rebellion was losing its power. The crowds were excited to see Jesus enter the city. Well, at least that one particular crowd was. You see, on the other side of town, there was another crowd that had gathered for another procession, this one coming from the northwest, this one led by Pilate, the political leader, as he made his entry. Whereas Jesus came in from the southeast riding a donkey and wearing a pauper's clothing, Pilate came in from the northwest wearing the uniform of Rome and flanked with soldiers marching in perfect rhythm. Imagine the stormtroopers of Star Wars compared to an island of misfit toys, the one being no match for the other. And yet Lazarus was alive. And if Jesus could do that, what power did Pilate and his army really have? But still, so much remained unknown in the moment. Pilate's army looked pretty strong. Even if there was resurrection, the fear of death itself held its hold on the people. And Jesus, well, he didn't really look ready for a fight. In fact, he wasn't even looking for an adversary in Pilate. He just kept teaching and doing his thing and eating with all the wrong people and finding ways to challenge those presumed limits of God's love, reminding us that there are no limits to God's love. So where was Peter as all of this drama was unfolding in Jerusalem? It makes me remember Peter's life. Peter, the rock, the foundation of the church. You'd think he would be there, right? Like, right on the front lines of the crowds who gathered to welcome Jesus, waving their palms, singing their songs, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. If Peter was living into his rockness, surely he would have been there, helping to keep the street choir singing in tune, like a drum major leading the way onto the field. But John says nothing of the sort. Instead, we find Jesus somewhat alone with the crowds as the Pharisees stood back and watched. So maybe Peter wasn't there. Maybe Peter was out on a reconnaissance mission of sorts, watching the other procession come in from the other side of town, the one where Pilate entered. Maybe Jesus even sent him there. Or maybe Peter went on his own. Maybe he wanted to size up the opposition to get a sense of what they might be facing as word of Jesus' ministry began to spread and caused an obvious threat to Rome. If Jesus was indeed the Messiah, as Peter recognized, that was not good news for Rome, for they already had a leader, an emperor, a king. Or maybe Peter wasn't in either of those places. Maybe Peter was at home, waiting to be explicitly summoned into action, an invitation he couldn't turn down and save face. Or maybe Peter was hoping to avoid that potential conflict altogether. We do know that Peter will eventually deny his association with Jesus. That is a benefit of hindsight we have when we come to the text. And so we have to wonder if Peter isn't at the procession with Jesus, and if Peter isn't waiting for Pilate, then maybe Peter is at home struggling with his own doubt. But then again, we also know that Peter would be quick to draw his sword in defense of Jesus, a misguided but probably well-meaning show of devotion to his friend, the one to whom he had pledged his life. Knowing Peter as we do, he really could be in any of these places, right? It could really go either way. So where was he when Jesus processed into Jerusalem? Was he hiding? Was he in the Jesus crowd? Or was he on the other side of town trying to blend in with the ones who welcomed Pilate? Where was Peter? Where would you be if you were in Peter's shoes? It's hard to know, isn't it? It's hard to know where we would be, partly because we do have the benefit of hindsight, and as we've already said, hindsight is always 20/20. Asking ourselves where we would be 2,000 or more years ago in this pivotal moment of Jesus' story is like asking ourselves where we would be in the 1950s or 60s as the civil rights movement was heating up. We would like to say that we'd be right there on the right side of history, risking everything, our jobs, our families, our friendships, even our lives, for the sake of justice, which ultimately is for the sake of love. For as Cornel West writes, justice is what love looks like in public. We would like to say that we would be there with courage, singing songs of loudest praise, as the hymn says. And yet the truth probably is that where we would be then is exactly where we are today. So often history chooses its pivotal moments long after the dust has settled on the actual experience. In other words, more often than not, we don't know how things are going to turn out until they have turned out. And we look back at them from the other side. Peter couldn't have known that Palm Sunday was going to become Palm Sunday. Maybe if he had, he would have taken a more prominent role, you know, so that history would show his faithfulness, his courage, more than his insecurity and his humanity, so that history would remember where he was instead of giving us the question, where was Peter? Sometimes Peter was courageous. He left his life as a fisherman. He stepped out of the boat. He proclaimed for the first time, Jesus is the Messiah. But Peter also showed a tremendous amount of doubt when he put his focus on the wrong things and Jesus called him a stumbling block. Do you remember that? Peter also showed his doubt when he drew a sword in a show of force to defend Jesus' life. And eventually, Peter flat out denied Jesus and any association with him, no doubt in order to preserve his own life. So I guess if we were forced to answer the pressing question today, where was Peter? It is most fair to say, depending on the day, we don't know. Because Peter's witness was, well, somewhat inconsistent. And so is ours. As we remembered this morning in the prayer of confession and the words of forgiveness which followed, we are all imperfect. We are all broken. We are all bound to miss the mark here and there, this side of heaven. And it's okay because God stands ready to forgive us and to love us and to invite us back into the fold. So there is good news. And the good news is there is no limit to God's grace, no limit to God's love, no limit to God's invitation to keep calling us back time and time again. But if we ended there today with the word of good news, we wouldn't really be ending on Palm Sunday. We'd be rushing through all the hard stuff. And so today, we end with the Palm Sunday message. And the Palm Sunday message is not the answer, but it's the persistent, pressing, open-ended question. Where are you?